Welcome to this week's Casterbris Podcast with a K, available on Casterbris, iTunes, Stitcher.com, and Audio Boo.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the podcast. My name's Christian Cawley. I'm back from Scotland. Hello. And James McLean's with me this week. Hello, James.
Hi.
Excellent. No Brian this time, sadly. He's fighting aliens in other galaxies this time. So
is that what we're calling American fans now?
Yes. Perhaps so.
Protecting his TARDIS from their grubby little fingers or their grubby little protuberances. Yes. Yeah. Oh, God. Oh, that's so pathetic.
It's not that bad. It could be a really bad episode of Doctor Who that you were quoting from, as it happens.
I know, but it's just the way it's sort of so. I've been listening, which we'll mention at the end. I've been there's a commentary to Nightmare of Eden, and hearing Lala Ward and Bob Baker and the like. Or I don't think Bob Baker actually says this, but you know, there was sort of saying, you know, with Peter Kreis, Michael Kreis's brother, sort of saying, you know, don't get these fans. How can it be their life, sort of thing? And I think, yeah, how can it be their life? Then when they're grubby protuberances, and you think, oh God, no, it's my life as well.
So. Okay. Well, maybe you know, there's just to take a small detour. There are many similarities between a fan of Doctor Who and being a fan of football. So let's. It would be nice if people could maybe keep those kind of similarities in mind, perhaps.
Yes, I agree. I agree totally. I totally agree.
Good. Okay, so this week we're going to stick largely to the news. We have got an interesting little chat later on inspired by a writer friend of mine. But in the meantime, here's a jingle.
Prepare yourselves, Casterbrits, for an onslaught of news.
And essentially, yes, that is what it is. There is a lot of news to talk about. Like James and Brian, James was saying just before the podcast that last time there wasn't a lot of news to talk about, whereas this time, thanks to what happened on Friday, there's quite a lot of news to talk about. So we've got the new trailer with Peter Capaldi making his first appearance on TV since the Christmas episode as the Doctor. And the... It starts off with a question. We get another question in Doctor Who. We've had questions about who the Doctor is and isn't the name of the Doctor and all that kind of gubbins and which number Doctor we're up to. Or more on that later on, I might add. And then we have the Doctor asking what sort of man he is. Am I a good man, Clara?
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
I found it was really badly sounded. I couldn't work out what the hell he was saying through half. I had to listen to it about four times. Mm. I mean, I know you come slightly further up the north, so it might not be an issue for you. But did you? I don't normally have a problem with Scottish, but you know, I didn't get the first bit. I mean, what did he say? Did he say Clara be a pal? Is it Clara be a pal? And then he says, It sounds like am I good man? Not am I a good man? And again, that must be just the inflection and when it's taken out of context. But yeah.
Well, I have a slight advantage of having been in Edinburgh for a few days before seeing it, so.
I just thought it was a very odd clip to take in that sort of sense, that it sounded very fractured for a general audience. And that's not to say that, I mean, that's how he speaks and people are going to get used to it. But when you're trying to PR something, if you're fellow English people listening going, what the hell is he saying? It's no spite against Capaldi, no spite against Moffat's lines. It just seemed a very odd phrase. It didn't seem a very crisp phrase to put on a trailer, even though it was a good phrase.
Do you think we need subtitles for Doctor Who?
Oh, well, I hope not. I know when I watch The Wire, I do.
Okay. Well, funnily enough, that is a topic we'll also be coming to later on in the same segment that I mentioned that we'll be coming back to later on. Now, you were spotted. Oh, first of all, now, on Friday, there was the trailer. I think it was 8:30. I'm not entirely sure because I wasn't watching TV. As it happens, I don't actually watch an awful lot of TV. And well, not broadcast TV anyway. And the images were released at around the same time, which I knew about the images first. And in both, we see the TARDIS. Well, we see Clara looking at in the images, looking as if she's been pasted in.
Yes, I think they've both been pasted.
Yeah, I think they both have, and that isn't uncommon, frankly, because obviously, Matt Smith and Karen Gillan were not falling through the vortex in 2010.
Yeah.
And you know, previous years we had like David Tennant and his Scooby Gang. They weren't all at the same photo shoot at the same time, I don't think. I think there's one or two of them weren't there.
I suppose people are surprised because they think, well, they've got the set, they've got the actors. They don't have necessarily explosions or an open vacuum or something to sort of hang them in.
Mm.
You know, Michael, but, you know, again, it's limitations of time, money, I don't know, you know, setting up shots like that, lighting, you know. It works. It does what it's meant to.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Jenna looked quite strange as Clara holding the turkey, didn't she, a couple of years ago at Christmas?
Yes.
She seems out of place there. And again, she seems slightly out of place here.
I was going to say, some people have suggested that she looks fairly constipated or the like, or about to relieve constipation. I don't know if that's very fair, but I read that. So I'm sure she's going to love reading that comment if she does. But it is a very odd posture they put her in. It is sort of slightly bow-legged. I don't quite know what's going on there. I don't mind it. It looks fine with me. I didn't spring to my mind when I first saw that, but I did think it's a bit of an odd posture. I don't know. It's an odd picture.
Hmm.
But who cares in the end?
It does look a little odd. Maybe she's never stood in that position, and that's why it looks a little bit odd, because it's been heavily shot.
Hmm.
Castobus co-founder Anthony Dry did a lot of work along those lines in the DVD box sets,
mm-hmm.
Creating poses and scenes that were never created and no one noticed, because he did a good job. So, TARDIS interior, James,
You
had a few things to say about this. Now, I thought it was just lighting that had changed, but apparently that's not the case.
No, they've apparently done a few changes to things like the railings. There's some changes. I think there's some changes to the outer sections. I was told by someone who's been on set, said that you can, if you know what you're looking for, you can see. You can see where the changes are in the trailer if you look. Mm-hmm. If you know what you're looking for, you can see some of them. But apparently, they're only minor, but to Doctor Who fans, they'll be noticeable, I'm sure. But yeah, it's not just lighting. There are some minor alterations to set. So that should be interesting.
Right, okay. I'm not sure how many times you said minor there, but I just want to reassure our fans that we are not talking about...
Don't say it. Don't say either of them. Or if you're talking
either
about
of
your
the
own
Peladon
communities.
Stories.
There we go, yes.
Is where I was going. Not sure where you were going with that. Cybermen! Now, you spoke about Cybermen last week, I know.
Yes,
and,
do know.
We now know, thanks to... We're recording this on Monday afternoon, as usual, Podcastarian. Do we say that? We do know. And we have photos in the press today of Cybermen in Cardiff City Centre with the new Doctor, Peter Capaldi. How do you feel about that?
Ambivalent until I see it in context, really, isn't
yeah.
it? It's a bit... I don't know. I suppose, if I am totally honest, I was disappointed. Not in a major way, not in a major fan sort of way, you know, oh my God, this is going to be awful, but just sort of like a, I don't know. I mean, we've had quite a lot of alien invasions, haven't we, over the years? Not as many as maybe in some eras of Doctor Who, but...
Well, I don't think we've had that many since...
No, maybe not. Not maybe since Moffat took over.
Yeah, yeah.
So maybe that's a fair point, but... I don't know. I kind of would like to... There's, if I was being particularly me, I would say I'd like to have seen the Cybermen in a sort of more sci-fi setting, maybe just a couple of them. I, as I said last week, I think they need to pull back on the Cybermen and actually remind people, like Cyberwoman, which I know the week before last we had a good go at. But ultimately, as a story, it was quite smart in the sense it looked at the issues of cyber technology and how that affects people around them, which hadn't been really explored before. And I think that sort of context for taking these major monsters is a very strong, mature and new approach, which I'd like to see more of without the silly costume. And so seeing sort of Cybermen in London slightly en masse just reminds me of a little Closing Time, obviously reminds me of Rise of the Cybermen, reminds me of Doomsday, reminds me of Aliens of London. It's very much part of Doctor Who's mythology to have alien invasions. I suppose it's just the Cybermen have had such a poor run since Doomsday, I guess, really, that I'm kind of worried that it's just going to be more of the same, and it's not really going to be about the Cybermen. It's going to be about iconic monsters in London, and I think that misses the point. But we'll see, won't we? What do you feel? What do you feel? What do you feel?
I'm still, you know, I'm still smarting from the super speed ability, to be honest with you, because it just so it damages them so much as a threat, or as a credible threat, or a credible threat that can be combated.
Exactly. I mean, yeah. I think I said in the comments, I watched Time of the Doctor the other week, and I couldn't understand how they weren't the last ones surviving, given how much Nightmare and Silver just made them utterly impossible. You know, mass numbers, millions of them. Everyone feared them because they destroyed. People would destroy whole planets if Cybermen were there. And you know, you think, well, we didn't hear that with the Daleks particularly, and yet the Daleks obviously trounced them at Trenzalore. Yeah, how? They're so fast. Daleks take ages to say anything. By the time it said anything, the Cybermen would have sort of shot round it and taken all its balls and whatever those things are. Skirt. You know, taking it by the balls and...
I think you mean etheric beam locators, don't you?
Are they? Right, okay.
Yeah, that's what they're in, the curse of fatal death.
Mm.
Yes. Okay. Dear listener, we would love to hear what you think about the Cybermen returning. They are the Nightmare in Silver outfitted Cybermen. Sadly, we have no cadaverous Cybermen. Damn it. Drop us a line and throw in some comments down there below this podcasty bit here, or if you're on Audio Boo, you can leave a comment, or you can even actually, do you know, on Audio Boo you can actually record your feedback. And I say this because we have a massive audience on Audio Boo, and just a hello Audio Boo listeners, hello there, and they probably know this already, but you can actually listen. You can actually record feedback to a podcast on Audio Boo, which is quite cool. I think it's different to just like typing it, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I imagine. I don't know. I don't care.
Okay. And also, if you are listening to us on iTunes, we would probably more or less get down on our knees and beg for you to leave some feedback and a review of our show in iTunes. That would be awfully nice of you to join the solitary other review that is there.
Well, there is only one listener, isn't there? It's the old gag.
Ah, but is it a gag?
Oh, not for iTunes, it isn't. It clearly is. It's true.
Okay. Let us move along to Big Finish, whose sterling work, just when you think that perhaps they've pretty much done pretty much all that they could possibly do, because, you know, surely they can't do anything else with Doctor Who. They're giving us a new Rani. And I'm quite interested by the casting, actually, because it's Siobhan Redmond, who listeners and viewers may know from Between the Lines back in the 90s, or sitcom The High Life with Alan Cumming, Smoking Room. She's been in Taggart and Holby City. And they cast her as a new incarnation of the Rani. What do you think of that?
Interesting. Yeah, it's good. I have a lot of respect for Big Finish, in the sense that the stuff we talked about last week, Big Finish tends to do quite well. I mean, I sometimes wonder whether the TV show is so bound by BBC expectations of there having to be big loads of monsters and, you know, interesting for the children, feed, you know, easy morsels for the average public, that they don't, they're not able to do some of the stories that they possibly would be able to if they had the sort of more niche audience that Big Finish has. And Big Finish seems to handle a lot of its monsters and its stories in ways where they're not being geeky, in the sort of sense where they're just sort of over-focused on continuity. Sometimes they are, but ultimately they seem to do stories which respect or are relevant to the monsters or the villains or the heroes in ways that, because it's something we said a couple of years ago now, the whole idea that if you're not careful, you can end up using a monster, the Dalek can just become a generic monster. Say, for instance, in Day of the Daleks, maybe you could sort of say that you could have put pretty much any alien into that. It didn't have to be Daleks. The story was about the time thing, the politics and the time thing. You know, Big Finish is quite good in the sense that it does seem to very well neatly craft its stories around the characters that are about, you know, the stories are about, and explores them like it did with Davros so well in The Master. So I think they'll do well with Irani.
Well, let me just go into the the background to this, because it's quite interesting. David Richardson, producer at Big Finish, says, "The Rani's return was very much prompted by Kate. Her agent contacted me and said that she would love to reprise the role with us. When I mentioned this to executive producer Nicholas Briggs and script editor Alan Barnes, they leapt at the opportunity. Justin wrote the Rani Elite for us." That's Justin Richards. Mm-hmm. "And they were just a few weeks away from recording when the news reached them that Kate O'Mara had passed away. Her agent got in touch and said that it had been Kate's wish that Big Finish proceeds with a new incarnation of the Rani."
Hmm. That's brave of her, isn't it?
Yeah. You could tell from, you know, back last November when she was interviewed a couple of times during the Doctor Who celebration that she was really keen on getting involved with it again.
Hmm.
So she clearly had a lot of love for the character, which I'm hardly surprised, because as we've discussed a few weeks ago, the Rani is a very, very clever, good, very different Time Lord and a really good character.
Mm.
So it'll be interesting to see how that one turns out.
Yeah, absolutely.
If they're only just recording it around, well, a few weeks ago, then, you know, they're going to be, it's going to be a while before it's released. It's available to pre-order now and can be purchased as part of the main range subscription package.
Good.
And it's out in December.
Good.
So that's what we're going to do with the news today, because you know we are gearing up for a new series of Doctor Who on August the 23rd, which is something we haven't mentioned yet, because you know, with the trailer and the pictures.
Mm.
Are you looking forward to the new series, James?
No more or no less than any other previous series. I'm naturally curious because it's going to be a new actor. I did watch, as I said, you know, if you have been listening, listener, I did watch Time of the Rani. Oh, God,
no, did you?
No way, not a chance. Time of the Doctor. Last week, it's been on iPlayer, and Day of the Doctor I watched before that. And I really enjoyed it second time round or third time round. I think possibly because, again, once you've seen something, expectations are lowered to what you know it is.
Sorry, are we the Day of the Doctor or the Time of the Doctor?
I watched both and I enjoyed both.
Right, okay.
So I enjoyed both. I particularly enjoyed Jenna Louise Coleman in them.
Mm-hmm.
I found, even though I still stand by the fact that she does lack a structure to be a proper character, the actress just plays her so well.
Yeah.
That there is, you really do feel this. I mean, I know there's this underlying joke of her fancying the Doctor, but you feel this sort of absolute devotion and love for the character in a way that's different to Amy and different to Rose or Martha. It seems quite not like a sort of paternal relationship, but there just seems to be a genuine like for the person. Do you know what I mean? It's mm-hmm. the way she comes back for him at the end of Time of the Doctor, and it doesn't feel like she's doing it like Rose would, because she's got to be with the Doctor and it's not fair. I want to be there. Why aren't I there? I don't want to be here. She sort of does it because he really matters to her.
Yeah.
And that comes across really well. So when you say about the new series, I think I'm mostly going to be interested to see how they play off, especially with the trailer as well, hinting, how they play off this very new Doctor, and obviously going to be a very different Doctor to her Doctor. And if I had any slight concerns, which I shouldn't have, because even though I'm not always over happy with stuff Moffat does, he does know his history, and I'm sure he's very wise not to repeat the mistakes that they made with Colin Baker and Perry, and take Matt Smith as a sort of Peter Davison relationship with Perry, and then move to an abrasive and uncomfortable one with Colin Baker. And I don't think he'll be that silly. But I hope that it stays, that the bond remains in some form or other. So yeah, no. That's
okay.
My long answer.
Okay. I forgot what the question was now.
The question was, am I looking forward?
Oh, are you looking forward to it? Okay.
Are you?
Am I? Yeah, I am, actually. I think if it had come maybe in the spring, I wouldn't have been looking forward as much as I am. If you understand what I'm saying.
Is this because of the Dark Knights sort of thing again?
It's partially because of Dark Knights, although, you know, we'll be at the back end of the series before we get any Dark Knights.
Yeah.
I think it's largely because of the gap as well, I think.
The gaps helped, you think?
They help when it comes to running Castorbas, yeah, I think.
Mm.
It can... Doctor Who can become a little overwhelming at times.
But then, to be fair, I mean, even it's been quite full-on, really, this year, bar the last 3 weeks or so. where it's gone quite quiet. But beyond it's Doctor Who has still managed to stay quite very much in people's. I would. Do you think the new series has? Do you think for the casual viewer, for the audience that watches Doctor Who, while there seems to be a lot of interest, obviously, within fandom, do you think this long gap has done it? I don't think it's damaged it, but do you think it's done it good, or do you think it's not done it good, if you see what I mean? It's that end of the spectrum. Not that I think it's damaged it, but it's whether it's done anything positive for it.
The gap?
Yeah, because, I mean, I've not really noticed much about Doctor Who in the news at all, really, apart from this trailer. And actually, I didn't even get the trailer from the news website.
I don't think the gap has harmed it at all. I think.
But has it benefited it?
Has benefited it. I think because if the news goes out in certain quarters, then that news will be picked up around the world. And I have Google Alerts set up. We know that Doctor Who's getting increasingly big around the world.
Mm-hmm.
Now, for instance, there was that thing about Finland. Some executive said that there's no Doctor Who fans in Finland, which apparently is absolute nonsense. There's quite a lot of Doctor Who fans in Finland, and they're quite proud of the fact that they've got quite a lot of fans over there. And apparently the next series is screening the day after it broadcasts here. You have these big websites reporting on the news, and then you have the same news is then picked up by news websites overseas, and it's in Spanish, it's in Finnish, it's in Russian, it's in Serbo-Croat, it's in Brazilian, etc.
Do you think they've been more successful this year in holding everything back? Because
it would seem to be so far.
I mean, apart from a few little possible tiny spoiler slips that popped up here and there, by and large, it seems to have kept everything pretty tight to me.
I think so. I think there must have been a lot of studio work.
Yeah.
First off. But yeah, I agree. It does seem that they do seem to have a better grip on things this time around. Or, on the other hand, maybe there's just no spoilers and Series 8 is just going to be really dull.
Could just be Cybermen, Rani, Masters and all that sort of boring stuff.
Well, we'll see. Let's hope there is a Master. I'm looking forward to that is one of the reasons I'm looking forward to Doctor Who. I want to see. I mean, we have had the Master rumour, and when we've had Master rumours in the past, we've had the Master. So, and if it's, if it's one of the two main names that have been mentioned, that's Charles Dance and Richard Armitage, then I'm really interested.
Ben Miller, have they actually said who he's cast as?
No, they haven't. No, so again,
so he's still another.
Yeah. And then you've got the guy from EastEnders who's an interesting actor, but I'm not sure.
Here's a question which we should probably tackle.
Go on, then.
How are you feeling about Stephen Moffat's announcement that he's going to be on for season 9?
Well, that would take us into 2015, wouldn't it? And, 5 years, that's a good time to stop.
You'd think.
I think 5 years is a good time to stop. And if Capaldi is staying on longer than one series, as we all hope he is, although obviously there was suggestions in the press early days that he was only doing 1 year, but if Capaldi is staying and we're not getting another Doctor next year, I would like to see a Doctor working under two different producers, as we did back in the Tom Baker era.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. I would. I kind of like the idea, as someone pointed out, it's nice to see him take on two different Doctors. So that's an interesting point.
Well, Russell T. Davies did as well.
Exactly.
He hasn't done anything revolutionary, has he?
No, exactly. So, I can see the argument that it's interesting to see any producer take on two different Doctors and see how they approach it. I kind of feel as well, and as I've said, I think there's been a certain feeling by some at the BBC that this is about as far, as long as it needed to be. So I think there will probably be a little more urgency to see if he's willing to move on. I think the only thing that would get me is whether he sorts out this juggling act with Sherlock. I think that is the problem with him as, and I think Russell T. Davis as well, to a certain degree, even though his stuff was all in the Doctor Who franchise, to be fair.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's no way you can say with either man that they would have done their quality wouldn't be better if they were just focused on the one thing, because that's just natural human nature, isn't it? The more you focus on one thing, the more attention you can give it.
Yeah.
The more you split, the less attention. So yeah. I would hope, as horrid as it is, that somehow Sherlock took a back seat, or and he was able to focus on Series 9 almost solely. Because, you know, it is a major franchise. It should have, really. I think that's my major issue. And I would like to see a producer on board who is just solely to do with Doctor Who. And if they do another thing, if they do another sort of Torchwood thing, they get another producer to do that.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, it should be like that.
I think there was some suggestion recently in the press that it might be a while before we got another series of Sherlock. Mm. I don't know how accurate that is, because, you know, that contradicts other things that have been said.
But yeah.
They obviously do it around Cumberbatch and Freeman's movie work, don't they, and other TV commitments. So
to some degree, I think there is, although I don't think it's often pointed out because it's less popular to say so, but I think a lot of it is also around Stephen Moffat's schedule as well.
Yeah.
So because I'm sure I've heard there's times where they've both been free and it hasn't moved because he hasn't been free.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's just the way things are. But when you've got, as you say, when you've got three people are high in demand, it starts causing problems for all sorts of, for Doctor Who and other projects as well. So, yeah, I would like, I see no reason why, to be honest. I mean, we keep saying why, you know, it's time Stephen Moffat moved on from Doctor Who. You could argue quite fairly it's about time Stephen Moffat moved on from Sherlock, let Gatiss and, you know, a couple of writers take over that, and for him to focus just on Doctor Who. Mm. If he's not going to leave Doctor Who, which he doesn't feel like he wants to, then maybe he needs to leave Sherlock and let that manage without him. And I don't think it probably needs him as much as Doctor Who does.
Probably not, no.
And focus on Doctor Who.
That's an interesting point. Maybe you can give us some thoughts on that, dear listener. Now, if you were unhappy with something that changed in Doctor Who, perhaps your favourite writer left, or your favourite monster was killed off completely, never to return, or an actor was cast who you didn't like and felt was completely unsuitable in the lead role, would you quit being a Doctor Who fan? I have a friend, a fellow writer of considerable quality, who is far more successful than I could possibly hope to be, I should think. And I'm not going to mention his name, although we may get him on one day. And he has recently been flogging stuff on eBay, all of his Doctor Who collection, going back, you know, back to the 60s. He's been collecting this stuff for a long, long time. And he's basically doing it because he doesn't think the Doctor should be played by a Scotsman.
Right.
Now, I personally think this is a slight overreaction. He's one of these people who kind of blames the 1989 cancellation on the person helming the TARDIS, as opposed to other things. So this is where he's coming from. So I'm asking you, James, and you, the listener, because we'd like to hear back from you on this. Would you quit Doctor Who because of that? Because you didn't like Peter Capaldi's casting? Would you quit Doctor Who if a woman was cast as the Doctor?
Hmm. I suppose it depends on the reason for the woman. I'd certainly watch it. Whether it would turn me off it, I think there are things that would turn me off it, and it wouldn't be out of an attempt to boycott it or to sort of make a statement. It would be simply that it irritated me. And as I think I've said before, there's been a couple of times where I've thought, this is it. I'm probably not going to watch the next episode. And that was, I felt that as
that
a kid.
Quite recently, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, Colin Baker's series, when I was a kid, I started to lose interest with Colin Baker a lot. He was just, as I've said before, too abrasive for me. I just didn't enjoy it. It was harsh. It felt cold. The characters were unlikable. And it just didn't have any warmth left for me, mm-hmm. personally. So there was then, as I've said before, as we said the other week, Rise of the Cybermen. At the beginning scene with that, with Rose, Mickey and the Doctor, I was really at a point where I was thinking, I just don't like the Doctor anymore. He's just so weak and pathetic, and I just don't like him. I didn't like Rose, but ultimately you've got to say, it's not really Rose I'm disliking, it's the way that the Doctor interacts with Rose. Because you can have, you know, I didn't particularly like Tegan, but I liked Peter Davison's Doctor. So that worked. But if Peter Davison's Doctor had been really capitulating to Tegan and really sucking up to her the whole time, it would be him I would feel disappointed in, this sense, if that makes sense. So Rise of the Cybermen as well was a time where I felt I could almost sway. And I think Series 5, I was close as well. I was bitterly disappointed by Vampire of Venice. Mm-hmm. I was thinking, my God, this is terrible. This is just, it's just silly. It's not even well written. It didn't feel well written. I felt the characters were weak and it just didn't hold together. So I think that was another time I was... Oh, in Closing Time.
Yes.
Closing Time. So individual episodes have been things, but I wouldn't say specific castings have. I mean, I greatly dislike, as I've said billions of times, River Song, but I've managed to suck up and work through them. I think the problem is it's a bit like a soap Doctor Who, that you're never totally content with the moment. You're kind of waiting for the next one. And if you have a bad moment, you kind of think, well, the next one probably won't be as bad. Right. So you carry on to the next one. And Doctor Who normally does deliver at least 5 times out of 10, I think, is a conservative estimate. So you have a bad episode, the next one is normally quite reasonable. So you stick with it, just like a soap. And so, you know, you can sort of groan and grumble. But I don't think I could ever sort of say I would just boycott it. I could sort of just get a bit bored of or dislike the character so much I'd go and do something else. What's about you?
Me?
I see, I didn't know you were going to ask that question, which is why I've rapported it on. I've had to really seriously think about it.
I thought you did know. I thought we discussed this before the podcast. And yes, I definitely did. Yes, you did know. I just wanted to clear that up. Well, I possibly might have said on the podcast before that if a woman was cast as the Doctor, I would have to give it serious consideration and would probably... it's a very easy thing to say, but whether you would actually do or not is another thing entirely.
Exactly. I know what you mean. I said we're on the same.
Yeah.
I hate saying it because I feel, well, you feel sexist for saying it, don't you? You feel like, you know, why?
Yeah, well, I've got a very good reason, because I don't, I would feel, if it wasn't perfect casting, because it's taken a massive risk by casting a woman as the Doctor. Okay. Because, you know, we've had 51 years of a man playing the Doctor. And if it failed for whatever reason, if the public didn't take to it, then that would possibly be the end of the show. It would certainly be the end of the idea of having a woman Doctor. And then that would perhaps later on, there would be a more suitable actress who really could do a good job as a female Doctor. And, it, you know, I don't. The idea, you know, when you put it down on paper, of having a woman playing the Doctor, it seems completely pointless to me. So I'm putting that aside for this moment. And just what the actual real world implications of changing the casting of the Doctor so drastically could mean to the show. And it just seems like too much of a risk for a popular TV show that is just a TV show. It's not supposed to be... I mean, you know, the Doctor is a nice guy with a well-rounded liberal view of the universe, but it isn't supposed to be a guidebook on how we're all supposed to be to each other. It is just a lot of adventures that are fun and exciting for kids.
Well, I suppose they would sort of say, then why are you getting so het up over a casting change if it's just a devil's advocate?
Yeah, that's a fair point.
I think my two issues would be is that I think there is a counter sexism in a weird way, that by doing it, you're almost inferring that you know, that a female taking a male role almost suggests that she couldn't have her own role herself. You think, well if you're going to do a female Doctor, why don't you do a female Doctor?
Yeah.
On the other hand, as I was just about, obviously, talk about Jean-Louise Coleman, who I think has been quite a charming performance. I'm just trying to imagine her playing a Doctor, and I'm thinking maybe I could actually be okay with it. And this is not about the whole, oh, well, God, isn't she hot? Or it's just...
She is.
She's a very attractive lady. Is it? And she's hot, yes. But, you know, I think as the way that she delivers a personality, maybe there's enough quirk in someone like her to pull off a Doctor. Okay, I may phrase that. to do a Doctor is just as bad, isn't it? But you know what I mean. You know what I mean. Maybe
well, you know, these actors who've played the Doctor have got form for that kind of shenanigans.
No surprise. But yeah, but that's the thing, isn't it? Maybe part of me, I suppose, is thinking, well, maybe I am just being small-minded. Maybe, you know, so many people said that about a young doctor, didn't they? You can't have a young doctor.
Well, no, I don't think they did, sure. Really.
I think there was a few people.
But yeah, I think that's more of a thing that was kind of wound up by the press. Whereas this time, it's the other way around. The press, oh, let's have a woman doctor.
Well, that's because the press has changed a lot in the last 15 years, the last 15, 20 years, where it needs to shock and it needs to cause debate to get people to come and click their sites and get their ad revenue. So I think that's one of the reasons the press has changed, for the necessity to try and piss people off, pretty much, I think, and get people debating.
Well, they're not hacking their phones.
Yeah. I always found that very odd, that I always, you know, hacking to me, I always inferred, like, you know, you always imagine like computer hacking, like you'd see on the war games. I didn't realise it was just basically guessing the voicemail digits. You know, but you know what I mean? It sounds like it's something really, sort of thing that Mickey would be doing, Rise of the Cybermen, with the keyboard, you know, tapping manically, and then suddenly phone is hacked. No, it's a little more basic than that. Yep. But yeah, so I don't know. Would anything turn me off? I think one thing that might turn me off would be if they got rid of the police box.
Okay.
I think that probably would. I think the police box has always been so terribly integral to me.
I don't think they would do that. I think there's more chance of them selling Television Centre than the... Oh.
Yeah, well, I think so as well. I mean, there was an argument at the time, you know, whether when it came back in 2005, whether the police box would be would make sense. And there's a fair point to that. And luckily they kept it because it's iconic and it now makes sense. But... yeah, you just wondered, someone came on the show and said, yeah, let's do something different. I mean, it's like with, again, listening to Nightmare of Eden on the commentary, and John Nathan Turner talking about John Nathan Turner, because he's dead, but they were talking about John Nathan Turner and his absolute hatred for canine. And yet at the time, he was massively popular with kids, you know, and kids being a massive integral part of the show's audience. And yet he wanted it gone. And you think, you know, surely not. Same with the sonic screwdriver, isn't it? And so you sometimes do get people who get into charge who might do these weird manic things.
Well, yeah, K-9 was essentially the sonic screwdriver, wasn't he?
He was. But the thing was, is that kids loved him, didn't they?
Yeah.
I remember as a kid, I was horrified when they got rid of K-9. And you think, as an adult, I can think, well, fine, I can see why they got rid of K-9. But at the time, he was iconic. And I think it's kind of hard sometimes... that you do fear that people in control of these things will make decisions or calls that will affect your show in ways that will damage it, as you say, like them casting someone who just isn't suitable, and or, you know, casting someone to sort of take on a trend. You know, the media says we should have a female doctor. Let's have a female doctor because that will assure media attention and that will give us the audience. But then you've got to be careful because the media does like that trick. Pull you in, and then once you pulled you in, knocks you down.
Yeah.
This woman doctor's terrible. What were they thinking? The doctor should be a man, and suddenly they've got double their audience share, and your viewers are now flocking away, saying, "Oh yeah, they're right. This was a stupid idea." So I do think they've got to be careful if they go down those sort of routes. But I will be interested to see again with Capaldi, because a lot of people said they wouldn't watch with Capaldi because he's too old. Not lots and lots of people, but there's obviously been a fair few people who have sort of said the age thing.
Yes, but many people have a sexual fixation on the doctor, isn't it? I think
I think so. I mean, I think there'll be a lot of younger adults. I think there'll be a lot of younger boys who will probably be a little disappointed as well. I remember as a kid, you know, age, you know, you are slightly ageist. You've got the age where people...
You are, but... And this might be just because I'm now approaching 40, but 55 doesn't seem as old now as it did when I was a kid.
I know, but
you know, William Hartnell was 55.
I know.
And how much older than Peter Capaldi did he look?
I know, but we as kids, that is a big group, big age gap,
yes,
isn't it?
Yes,
I mean,
yes.
Your threshold for a kid of getting of
well,
being
when
too
when
old.
You're 15, that's quite a big age gap, isn't it?
Yeah, well, but then with Doctor Who fans, you're even talking younger, aren't you?
You're about
market share for, I'll say, 10 to 14, 10 to 15. And that is a big share of people who, you know, 55 is pretty damn old. So I can sort of understand. I'll be just interested to see how many who said they won't watch it because it's old or don't think they will watch it because it's old will end up watching it anyway. And how many of those will actually do as they say and not watch it? I don't think there'll be many. No. I know the producer that I work for on some of the video games, he said he's not watching the next series.
Right.
But his reasons were that he's felt he got into it because of the video games and because he had to. But he says this comes to a point now with television where there's so many arcs and it sort of drags you along so long that there comes a point where he says, I just don't want to invest anymore in this show. This is a good cutoff for me. He says, I don't like the idea of Capaldi personally. He doesn't like that. He thinks it's a bad call. And he's not willing to go down that route and emotionally invest. And that's an argument. I can get that. It's not my personal argument. I think I'm going to be stuck with this show till I die or it dies. But I think there is probably a truth that, you know, sometimes if you are going to leave a show, maybe a good time is between when one era is ended. Because for you, that in a sense, you can sort of say there's closure there. Even though there's an opening new book, there's closure. So if you time of the Doctor is probably one of the best points. If you're ever going to say, when should you leave Doctor Who? That was probably it. The end of the 12 Doctors, the end of the Smith arcs as well. And Day of the Doctor fulfilling the question of the ninth Doctor and everything.
Okay. Well, we'll leave that topic there. We may come back to that. It's an interesting one. James, recommendations time. Do you want to go first or shall I?
Well, I can go on too. I've got one which is a bit of a bugbear, which I'm reluctant to actually voice, but I think I might because that's what we were meant to do. And one which is a recommendation. And the recommendation is Nightmare of Eden, surprisingly.
Okay.
Given that, I mean, I always bracket it with Horns of Nymon, probably because of the season and everything else. But once you get past the first episode, which is a little slow and clunky, the rest of the episodes are slow and clunky, but there's a sort of charm to them.
Yeah.
The mandrels are terrible. I mean, there's no doubt about that. And the features are great in their honest criticisms of the problems with the show. The mandrels are terrible. And a lot of that is to do with the bad lighting. It's far too harsh. The effects are bad on video rather than on film. Yeah, bad mistake. And I actually don't mind Trisk as the German villain. I actually found it didn't bother me particularly at all. In fact, I thought in a way I kept thinking it was going to be the assistant. I thought that was going to be the twist, that it was her, not him. So I think it's one of those nice little stories where you've got the whodunit thing, which is always a bit of fun. There's a few levels on it. I like the fact there's a lot of design in the ship. You feel there's a lot of space there. There's a lot of areas. You do get to see the crew hold, which is nicely done with the constant run-throughs and, you know, reshooting the same bit over and over again to make it look like there's 60-70 people on there. Oh, that works. The stairwell, trying to match the lift, and so you get some very nice clever work with trying to extend the stairwell. There's some really nice bits in there, and Tom Baker's really good. As someone pointed out, the drugs message is probably a little harsh and a little overt and probably not very helpful in a lot of ways. It's all a bit caricatured. But Tom Baker plays some of the lines really well at the very end, where he just tells Trist to get out. I like that. I like that. Is it Trist or Trisk? I can't remember. You do have that very awkward scene when he goes to take the mandrels back into the CET and has his little farce, which is where he comes out all shredded. So there's some bad stuff. But overall, I think it is quite a nice little story. It's a mess, but sometimes that doesn't matter, does it?
I've always enjoyed it.
I thought that was pretty good.
Okay. So what's your other thing?
My grumble is Doctor Who Legacy.
Oh.
Yeah, I've got a quiet... Well, I'm cautious here because you know, they've just gone through a 2.2 upgrade, so they've got a lot on their plate at the moment. So I'm trying to be fair and okay about it. But what annoyed me is for the Kindle, a 2.2 upgrade came up and there was an issue with it, and it jammed for a lot of people and it wouldn't load. So because I'd done a cloud save and all the data was saved, I did a reinstall, which made it work. But when it all came back, I was like 2 months behind. And so far, I've had no reply on this, and it's been like 2 months. I'm not the only person. I've seen people say the same on Facebook and on their forums that, you know, they've, you know, what's... And it is a concern. As I say, I'm not making it a criticism because this is a say. This weekend, they've just had their 2.2 and they've just done a patch as well. So I imagine there's a lot of stuff that they're doing. So you're just sort of giving them space to sort things out. But there is, there is a bit of a concern if the cloud save isn't successfully cloud saving. I mean, it could be that it is, and for some reason they've not taken and it's going to be sorted out. I don't know quite how that would work. I'm not a techno savvy like that. But I mean, I cloud saved successfully last week, you know, and it came up cloud save successful as it does. Okay, brilliant. So I was all up to date. So to be knocked back on a game like that, where you spend a lot of hours leveling and getting the characters, I've lost all the characters I got. I've lost characters I bought. I bought one character. I've lost all the promotion codes. It's taken me back, you know, it must be about a month and a half. And I've cloud saved several times since then. So, you know, I'm a bit disturbed by that. It's like you've got to have a good, on these sort of, on any software which does take a lot of updates and it gets used a hell of a lot, you've got to have some way of saving data. Otherwise, you can cause a lot of problems. So, yeah, I'm waiting to see what their response is on this. So it's not a criticism of them until...
You're just having a grumble.
I'm having a grumble because I'm frustrated because I was enjoying it. 2.2 came out. I was looking forward to trying that. And then to lose all those hours of work getting, you know, I've got a good sort of 9-10 characters up to the top of level 4. That's high as it could go before 2.2, ready for the next upgrade. And now to be back and lost all the characters that I actually worked hard to get hold of in the drops or bought and then powered them up and to have lost all them as well. And you're sort of sitting there going, and it's not my fault. I cloud saved and it was successful. So what's going on here? So you're trying not to blame anyone, but you are feeling a bit a bit frosty. So, yeah, so waiting to see where that goes. But I imagine if you're not one of the people like me, 2.2 sounds very good. It's a good game. From what people say, they're a good team for customer support. So I'm just waiting to hear back, see what happens. Okay. But there you go.
Okay. Well, I have just one recommendation, which landed on my doorstep. Landed on my doormat last week. And it is called, it's a book from the BBC by George Mann called Engines of War. Are you aware of Engines of War?
The name's really familiar.
This is the War Doctor book.
Oh, yes.
And I'm up to the third chapter after a small smattering of reading yesterday evening between football matches. And it's starting off very promisingly. Immediately the War Doctor, when you read it, you're not going to get any confusion thinking you're reading a Fourth Doctor book and it turns out to be a Seventh Doctor book. It is most definitely the War Doctor. And it started off really strongly. So I would, at this point, I would recommend you pick that up, dear listener. I don't think it's out yet. So I recommend that you pick that up, dear listener. It's not out, just pre-order it.
Did you read the Trenzalore, Tales of Trenzalore?
I haven't read that yet. That came around the same time.
All right, I'd be interested to see what you think of that as well.
Have you read it?
Yeah, I've read it.
You've read that, yeah.
But I've not read the War Doctor one. So you think the War Doctor one's worth...
At the moment, there's an explanation of what the Scarrow degradations are.
Interesting.
Yeah, which I quite like. So I'm not going to spoil it for you.
No, I'm kind of glad you don't. You're not going to, but I'm not going to. Part of me wants to know as well. So no, it's cool.
Okay, so that is, I think, the end of this week's Castero's podcast with a K. And we would like to thank you for listening, and we will speak to you next time. Goodbye.